You're watching Network Radio. Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
We're ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center. Center.
Veterans, wounded warriors, and anybody who was alive in the 60s, this little opening song is for you. So is this whole show.
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the dawning for dead in Ohio. Gotta get down to it, soldiers are gunning us down. Should have been done long ago. What do you do when you find her dead on the ground? How can you run when you know? For dead in Ohio, for dead in Ohio, for dead in Ohio.
That song was written by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and it was recorded 17 days after the Kent State riots. Today we have a guest on our show that is very much like that, in that he's taking these false flags that are going on in the world today, and he's rapidly, lickety-split, telling us about them, gathering together people for his book, We Are Not Charlie Hebdo, and the latest book he's going to tell us about today. For those of you who don't know about the Kent State riots, they were in Ohio, because in the Vietnam War, they did something called draft people. They took innocent young people, innocent young peace-loving people, and they took them off to war based on something called a false flag, based on a great big lie. And those false flags are happening today, and our guest is one of the premier researchers about that. And hopefully, we've learned our lessons from the past, and we're not going to have any more young people go off to die for drugs and oil and war machines. So stay tuned. Here's Don's song. We'll be right back with Dr. Kevin Barrett.
We can do it. Yes, we can. We can change things throughout the land.
I'm as bad as hell.
But we are
not going to take this anymore.
Lend a hand. We can do it. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, your neighbor over there, a bit bewildered, but he cares. He just doesn't know what to do. Join together and then there'll be two. There are others all around, scattered throughout the town. Reach out and you will see your numbers swell to three.
We can do it. Yes, we can. We can change things throughout the land. But we all must lend a hand. We can do it. Oh, yes, we can.
Series of truthversusnews.inc. My name is Activist Angel. Obviously, it's a nom de plume. Our guest today, having been to Paris several times recently, understands exactly what that is. Things are not things are good and they're not good in the world today. And this is a timely show because we've got some serious dividing going on and it's conquering us. And if we don't come together and stop this division and stop this conquering, and in the midst of the great people like our guest today and some of the other people we've had on our show, we're seeing a really astounding amount of very, very strange things go on. So I am fortunate enough to have somebody courageous on, and we're going to get a chance to talk about that. This is not going to be an ordinary show. Stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dr. Kevin Barrett, welcome to Solutions, Truth Versus News again.
Hey, thank you, Angel. It's good to be back with you.
You bet. You bet. Now, you've got your last book was a smash hit. We Are Not Charlie Hebdo, about the Hebdo attacks. And you've now got another one that's coming out. We would show it to you, but it's still on order. And what's that book called?
It's called Another French False Flag? Bloody Tracks from Paris to San Bernardino. So it covers these last two big false flags, the one in Paris on Friday the 13th of November, and then the one in San Bernardino on December 2nd.
And so the basic, we know, we've looked at the false flags, we looked at Charlie Hebdo very closely, we've seen that if there was anybody killed, they were just a couple of patsies, and the people that they claim were killed weren't. The Paris attacks are almost, we've looked at all that. So bring us back to San Bernardino. I mean, in your studies, were only the patsies killed? Were there any real people killed this time? You know, you've got that piece by Gilad Atzmon up on Veterans Today talking about being very careful about what we call false flags and what we don't. So can you give us a little overview?
Well, yeah, this question of who's getting killed and who's not getting killed is very confusing and very sensitive. It's one of the hardest things to prove. So it's not usually the first place I go when I look at these issues. With San Bernardino, the first thing I notice is multiple eyewitnesses saw three big white paramilitaries carrying out the shooting. And the official story tells us that a Muslim couple, which in one of the two being a, you know, 100-pound, 5-foot-tall girl who could probably, a small woman who could probably, you know, maybe carry about 1/3 or 1/4 of all the gear that she's supposed to have carried while she was firing with a machine gun and tweeting and texting and posting on social media about her exploits while she was doing it. This has been pretty well disproven. And likewise, we found that the patsies, that is the Muslim couple that was falsely blamed for this attack, were shot dead in handcuffs, apparently. The attorney for the family has said that this story just does not add up, and I would agree with that. As far as who may or may not have been killed in that center for people with disabilities, I don't know. We know that they had an active shooter drill every month there, according to the Los Angeles Times. Must have been the only such facility in the world with an active shooter drill every month. What a coincidence that that happens to be the place where they actually have an active shooting. So I think we can say for sure that this was not what they told us it was. We can say for sure that the Muslim couple that they blamed didn't do it. Three large white paramilitaries did. But other than that, it's very murky. And the San Bernardino Police Department is notoriously corrupt. It's basically run by the mafia. So criminals with enough money can pay the San Bernardino police probably to do just about anything. And, you know, I doubt if we'll ever get to the bottom of it. But with the Paris issue, there have been questions raised there, I think some serious questions, about the photo inside the Bataclan and whether it shows actual bodies of victims, or whether at least a couple of these apparent bodies seem to have their limbs bent in ways that are physical impossibilities for actual human bodies, indicating that they might be dapper cadavers, which are the fake bodies that are supplied
that
for Hollywood.
Can you call that photo up, Don, the one he's talking about, Paris photo? Good,
I'm
good, because we'd like to take a look at that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Barrett. One of the things I noticed in listening to the reports of the Paris thing is being a musician. Obviously, I listened to the reports from the band and their terrifying or horrific account of having to run from the place as those shots allegedly rang out. But I noticed that in the picture that hopefully Don's going to pull up of the bodies that seem to have been all, you know, dragged around somewhat, the drummer apparently had time to come in and break down his drum set. And all the amplifiers are gone, so that must have been really tough for those poor musicians to have to go in there while all those bodies are lying on the floor to, you know, make sure they do a breakdown. If you've ever been in a, you know, watched a drummer break down a set, it's not exactly an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was also kind of puzzling how nobody in the band got hurt. We were told that these radical Muslims don't like satanic death metal music, and that's why they would target this event, which seems really bizarre to me. I'm a Muslim, and I mean, I know, you know, there are Muslims who are not that happy about bombings and drone killings and things like that, but it's not so much a rock and roll issue, you know. Yeah. That all sounded very strange. But if that were the case, if there were some angry young kids in Paris that hated that kind of music, you kind of think they would shoot the band first, but who knows? It's also interesting that this band was playing an anthem to the devil just as this broke out, and they have a famous song with the refrain, Next Stop San Bernardino.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make this stuff up. Maybe it's all coincidence, but when you get enough coincidences like this, it starts to look like somebody's sending us a message.
That, I know that you're a fine researcher, and I want to be a little speculative here, and because that whole thing about the sending a message thing has started to fascinate me. They're almost blatant in their idiocy. I'm reminded of the Dylan Storm Roof court hearing. It's just called a court hearing. They don't call it an arraignment or a plea hearing or anything. It's called a court hearing where this kid has his 15-year-old brother behind him, allegedly as a guard, and he stands there while the judge allows the victims to tell him they forgive him before he's ever had a lawyer or a plea. That one. The Cowboy Arredondo iconic photograph where allegedly this guy with no blood on him is holding an artery as a recently, you know, mangled person, you know, it holds their phony limb on. It really almost seems as if they're thumbing our noses in it, don't you think?
Yeah, it looks that way. Another good example of that was the way they opened up the alleged crime scene after the San Bernardino shooting. That's the home of the couple that they blame for the shooting. Uh-oh. And just like, I think it was 2 days after the shooting, they went and, you know, this place was not even sealed off with crime scene tape or anything. The landlord opened it up to the media, and the media and a very large number of unnamed people, some of whom were supposedly victims' family members, went in there and ransacked this apartment under the watchful eyes of the TV cameras. And they utterly destroyed any shred of evidence that ever could have been used in court. But, of course, that's the whole point. These are not actual crimes in the way that we were told. That couple was not actually responsible for the shooting. So what we were seeing was a kind of a high-tech media lynching. It was a public relations spectacle, had nothing to do with crime, nothing to do with law enforcement, nothing to do with terrorism. What we're seeing is these are manufactured media spectacles designed to have a particular kind of effect on public opinion.
They found Craigslist ad for actors for that San Bernardino thing and posted it up. Dr. Fetzer showed it to us. And I, as a director and a writer and an actor myself, I'm really concerned for these people. I'm dreadfully concerned that they aren't aware of what they're getting into, and now they're caught up in things that they don't understand, that, you know, they have to sign, you know, on penalty of perjury, non-disclosure agreements, and all that kind of stuff. I have no idea how to, you know. You know, we talked once before about the possibility of some sort of amnesty or Truth and Reconciliation Commission for the little people. Have you had a chance to think any more about that?
Well, I've been thinking about that for many years, Angel. That came up way back in maybe 2004 or 2005 in the early days of the 9/11 Truth Movement, when many of us in the Truth Movement recognized that this was so huge and that the perpetrators had so much power that the best way to resolve it and avoid civil war and lots of blood in the streets would be to have some kind of South Africa-style Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And then some of us didn't think that that should be the sort of the first option. In other words, the first option should be justice. And that's how it was in South Africa. And then you say, okay, well, we're going to prosecute everybody involved in this. But if you want leniency, if you want to, you know, spend a little time in a country club prison, or maybe not even that, come forward and tell us everything you know. By such and such a date, you have to have told us everything that has anything to do with any of these crimes. And if you do that, then you'll get lenient treatment. If you don't, you're going to be prosecuted at least as harshly as you would have been, you know, if you'd never come forward. So that's the basic deal you have with these kinds of commissions. And I think that would be a good idea, not only for the small fry, but for the big fry as well. Again, the reason being that this is a kind of a world-shaking thing. It's going to turn the social world of the United States and the West upside down. And the people behind this are not going to go down without a big, bloody, ugly fight, maybe including World War III with nuclear weapons, if their, you know, their only option is to go to the gallows, you know. So I think a Truth and Reconciliation Commission is a very good idea. As for these smaller scale perpetrators, crisis actors and people like that, yeah, I mean, they're obviously candidates for that sort of thing. People like Harley Guy, the famous guy who was interviewed by Fox News right after 9/11, right after the towers had been blown up. And there he is with a kind of a smirk on his face, yeah, explaining the exact official story of what happened to those buildings. I mean, that's one of the worst acting jobs in all of history. And there are a number of other examples. Robbie Parker wasn't too, he wasn't going to win any Academy Awards for that performance. There are a lot of these cases where we're seeing apparent crisis actors who don't have a whole lot of skill. And I brought this up in my recent parody article over, yeah, Veterans Today. Obama is opting for the career of crisis actor after he leaves the presidency, pointing out that his job of squeezing out tears for the victims of Sandy Hook was actually pretty good compared to a lot of these crisis actors. So he might actually have a very lucrative career as a crisis actor after he leaves the Oval Office. And, of course, the argument against that would be that, well, everybody's going to recognize Obama if he shows up as a supposed bystander at some mass shooting event. But, in fact, his status as an ex-president gives him the option of, for example, he could be riding to a Bilderberg conference in a limousine, and suddenly there could be some firecrackers that go off. He could slap some ketchup on his face. And he could say that a conspiracy theorist, you know, these conspiracy theorists who have been picketing the Bilderbergers actually are violent extremists, and they just shot Obama. But fortunately, he got off with just a scratch in the face. And so we're going to have to send all those conspiracy theorists to the FEMA camps, as Cass Sunstein has recommended years ago, Sunstein being Obama's number one communications advisor, the communications czar, who wrote a book called Conspiracy Theories, Causes and Cures. Recommending that at some point we're going to have to make conspiracy theories illegal. But in the meantime, the government should, quote, disable the purveyors of conspiracy theories. So, yeah, these crisis actor things, I mean, you know, it's hard to do parody these days because the world is crazier than the most, you know, insane parody that you could ever dream up. You almost have to just kind of write it down the way it is, and you've got a masterpiece of dark humor already written for you.
You mentioned your piece in Veterans Today, and of course that's something that it would be important to talk about. You know, I came out of my retirement and started doing interviews. You were my second interview a year and a half ago. I'd done shows, but this is my first time crafting something like this. And I did it because our producer here, Don, had some of the top people from Veterans Today. And you're an editor there, and Jim Fetzer was an editor there. And the craziest things keep happening. Every time that I do a show about something, something blows up just a little while afterward. It was just 3 days after I interviewed you for Veterans Today that Jim Fetzer was thrown out. And it was, you know, just 2 days, 3 or 4 days after I did a whole piece with Robert Morningstar about Stephen Greer and UFOs, that Hillary Clinton came out and said that she was gonna, you know, tell us what the truth was if we got to the UFO question. But so on Veterans Today, I've been following you and Jim very closely, and I'm one of your biggest fans. And so can I hear from you what you think the reasons were that Fetzer was really taken off of there? Was it really because of Jade Helm? Do you believe that that's the reason?
No, absolutely not. At Veterans Today, there is something approaching complete freedom to write whatever you want to write. The problem is that Jim Fetzer is, well, he admits that there is this legendary Fetzer school of tact and diplomacy, meaning that Jim is very good at really offending people and pissing them off, and actually treating people very badly, frankly. He's just not a very sensitive human being, and he would probably be the first to admit that. So he was just extremely rude and obnoxious with Gordon Duff, and finally Gordon got sick of it and said, "The hell with you, get out of here." And that's exactly what I said to Jim recently when Jim was extremely rude and obnoxious to me. He's been rude and obnoxious to me dozens and dozens of times, never to the point that I couldn't deal with him anymore. But just, when was it? Early December, during a broadcast and then thereafter, he crossed the line. He was just so obnoxious and so incredibly, it's insensitive is not the word. I mean, treating your friends the way that he treats people that are supposedly his friends is just absolutely unacceptable. So this, he was thrown out of Veterans Today, just purely because of his own extreme personal obnoxiousness. He's not always obnoxious. He's not always he's not a bad person. But Jim is very, very, shall we say, skilled at just being, you know, a bull in a china shop with human beings.
Why in the world did Gordon Duff then take all of his past work and remove it from there? What's the reasoning behind that, as far as you think?
Well, Gordon was very angry at Jim, and Jim asked him to. Jim said, "Okay, well then take my stuff down." And so Gordon took him up on it as a kind. This was a pissing contest between two guys with big egos.
That's not according to what Dr. Fetzer says. Gordon Duff tell you that happened?
Yes, and frankly, I believe Gordon, because over and over in these situations, Jim does get things wrong.
Don?
I don't want to go into all the details here,
but I can understand.
I'm convinced that very likely that is the kind of thing Jim would say. Go ahead and take my articles down. Maybe, you know, maybe not. I don't know.
It's time for us to get to talk about this, get a bottom in. Are you ready on this camera? Great. I want to play something real quick.
Anyone I know of. About 30% of what's on Veterans Today is patently false. About 40% of what I write is at least purposely partially false, because if I didn't write false information, I wouldn't be alive.
That's Gordon Duff speaking. What do you think?
Well, I think he's exaggerating the numbers, but I think there's probably some truth to the fact that people in Gordon's position could never give you everything flat out that they know, not holding anything back and describing a situation absolutely truthfully as best they know it, and be alive the next day. So I'm sure it's not 30-40%, not even close. He's exaggerating to make a point, as many of us do all the time. But the basic gist of his point is correct, that he comes out of the intelligence community. He is not in a position to call everything exactly the way he sees it and to describe every little detail correctly. Whether he's actually, you know, really making stuff up that is knowingly false, no, I don't think he is that much. I think that was an exaggeration. He was exaggerating to make that point, that this is the way things work in the real world of people who've been in the intelligence.
You may call Dr. Fetzer, your ad hominem was the toughest one I've seen in this entire situation, when you called him a loudmouth, bombastic asshole. He can be pretty loud. But I, in all the time I've been following him and been a fan of his and yours, I've never known him to say something that was untrue. So if Dr. Fetzer tells me that he did not expect to lose all of his articles on Veterans Today, and Gordon Duff says that he asked him to take it down, I'm gonna tend to believe Dr. Fetzer before that. I'm going somewhere with this, Kevin. So I'd like for us to watch another exchange. Are you ready, Don?
Yeah.
Very good. This is about four and a half minutes. Here we go.
From the Republicans to Sandy Hook, we already mentioned the James Tracy news. Here's a piece from Memory Hole blog, his blog, which I guess is going to be his gig now if he's fired. Yikes. Just resuming many of the reasons why the Sandy Hook story seems highly dubious. And you already mentioned, Gordon, that there's this pushback that apparently got him fired, although I hadn't heard that yet. The next story was the piece published in the Jewish Daily Forward, America's leading Jewish publication, by the Posners, saying it's time to crack down on the Newtown truthers. If you read that story, Gordon, it stinks of psyops. I
I mean, reading this story, rather than jerking tears out of my eyes for the poor persecuted Posners who are being told that they didn't really lose their kid and so on and so forth, I'm saying this stinks to high heaven.
Posner called me here probably a year ago. I talked to him for a while, and there was the smell of Bud Posner. But then again, if Posner is an intelligence agent, as I suspect, first of all, at least he's got a job, you know, and he's probably paying taxes, and he's doing it. If he got Tracy fired, it's a good thing. But then when I look at what Tracy had done, unless Tracy was trying to be really stupid, this is my guess as far as false flag goes. It looked to me like Tracy was part of it. And Tracy was there to capture the least competent person, and I mean he's the least competent person, managed to take control of a situation and drive it over a cliff, and he certainly did that by choosing Posner.
Oh, come on, Gordon. Tracy's the most competent, frankly. I mean, you know, Jim Fetzer has done some decent work on Sandy Hook, but I think his critical...
Oh, no.
As good as Tracy's. I mean, Tracy made, you know, so maybe he made this one mistake, but I know the guy. I really don't think that's the case. I think your interpretation is off here. But we'll have to agree to disagree.
Or you're underestimating the enemy, and you may well be doing that.
Well, maybe I'm going to have to go visit Tracy at his house and ask the kind of questions he supposedly asked of Posner. And if Tracy turns out to be living in a mansion and
here's what I would have told you in 1 second, not being an idiot, after talking to Posner. And I'm looking down at the corner of the screen. That's where, you know, rather than the camera, I'm looking down at the corner where Kevin's tiny little head is. What I picked up in a second is that everything you tell Posner, unless you're willing to defend that in front of a jury, in this case, a Jewish jury, if it were, or whatever, but unless you're willing to do that, and you damn well better not, or unless you have a lot of money for attorneys, I would have stayed as far away from Noah Posner as humanly possible.
Me too.
I knew in 1 second that was suicidal. And anyone who doesn't have an antenna for that has no business being among us. Your battles.
I would say one mistake like that, I could understand that mistake coming from, I mean, he's taken so much heat. I know what it's like to be at a university and be getting all kinds of heat from the politicians and the media, baying and yapping for your job. He might have really wanted to prove his point and made that mistake of approaching Posner, who he knows is a phony, and he's right. Posner is a phony. We all agree on that.
Of course he is. Now, here's one of the things I had to do yesterday, and you're an editor at Veterans Today. Weren't available, but we had an article from Jonah on...
I'm going to skip to 52:25.
That way would not have been a very smart move.
You picked the low-hanging fruit, and there was low-hanging fruit. You take the single, and I could have picked a dozen things that would have kept you away from Posner. You have a dozen things you could have stuck with. You stay on message. Mm-hmm. I'm a psychological warfare specialist. It's my day job.
I'm a psychological warfare specialist. It's my day job. Okay. I'd like to hear a comment. Kevin, this man just admitted he's a psychological warfare specialist, and
of course he is.
and if you look at the his description of the company he works for, it's the NSA and all that, and so like what, Kevin, if I may, when I saw this and I saw him throw Jim Tracy under the bus, I was so furious. Dr. Jim Tracy just sacrificed his job for the truth with four small children, and nobody would know better than you what it's like to have to suffer over telling the truth and leave a career in academia.
Hey, I agree. You know, but I don't think Gordon did Jim Tracy any particular damage with that. Do you? I mean, how many damage? Viewers of False Flag Weekly News do you think actually sided with Gordon's perspective on that? I mean, so I don't see this as being particularly damaging. And in fact, you know, this, I think when you back up and try to figure out how to think about these things, you know, you have to consider what are the, you know, what are the effects of what people are saying and what they're doing. Okay, Gordon has started this fantastic outlet, Veterans Today. He's done that even though he comes out of a community where it's, you know, this is not something that you're really supposed to do. And he's managed to stay alive and keep doing it and bring out a whole lot of really interesting writers, a lot of dissidents, people, especially people critical of the real powers that be, Zionism in particular, which is the most protected racket in America. So VT is serving an incredibly positive role. And whether or not Gordon has a background in psychological warfare, well, that, of course, is just going to make him more effective at pushing back against the propaganda of the mainstream. And then when he comes on False Flag Weekly News and
calls
does
this
hatchet job on James Tracy,
yeah,
it's not going to hurt James Tracy. So all in all, when I hear that clip, I say, wow, that's great television, incredible television. James Tracy comes off just fine with the proviso that, yes, he made, you know, he did make a mistake by approaching the Posner family, of course.
He said when Posner took him down, it was a good thing.
I'm sorry?
His words were, it was a good thing when that he took Dr. Tracy down.
So Gordon says that. Gordon says all kinds of stuff that, I mean, I take with a grain of salt. Gordon is extremely, one would say, paranoid about everybody and their brother in the alternative media is working for the bad guys. He's probably right about some of them. You know, I used to scoff at him when he said InfoWars was a Zionist-run disinformation site. And now, looking at the Islamophobic stuff coming out of Paul Joseph Watson, I think Gordon might have been onto something about that. But I think that he paints with too broad of a brush and gets a little, as I would say, overly paranoid. He says, I'm underestimating the enemy. Well, I think maybe he's overestimating the enemy. Anyway, we obviously disagreed about that. It was great television. Among our audience, I guarantee you 95% plus side with Jim Tracy over Gordon Duff. So not only is no harm done, a whole lot of good was done by that episode.
I'm a little shocked, but I've been looking at this very carefully, Kevin, and I want you to think about something. Because if you look at Veterans Today very clearly, it's allegedly a veterans organization, right? And it's allegedly, you know, guiding veterans and gathering veterans today. And when he got rid of Dr. Fetzer, he did it just as Jim was getting close to the truths about the false flags that are happening in America. Now, if you go on Veterans Today and you look, and can you show, you got my thing here, Don?
Oh, okay. Number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, let's see. So I'm going to go to investigations, and I want to look at a few things. There are Satanists behind Paris and San Bernardino or other false flags. That's the only thing that mentions anything domestic that's going on. I'll point you to another article here that I've covered up. This is the one from Veterans Today that talks about the San Bernardino attacks as if they really happened, as if shooter Syed Farouk is real.
Now, who is that by?
GPD, the General Posting Department. We don't get
okay.
to know.
And where is it from then? That means it was just picked up from
December 24th, 2015.
Right. No, I mean, where is it? What's the source?
Let's source. Give me a source down at the bottom somewhere. Who knows where they got this?
It should tell you. Okay, yeah, normally that would. And how many reads does it have?
I've been looking. That's kind of hard to find out.
Because there's a lot of garbage at VT, and most of it doesn't get, you know, gets very few reads. And frankly, I think Gordon is putting up some garbage, or VT puts up, you know, little bits and pieces of garbage here and there to essentially camouflage the fact that its body of readership is for all the really good subversive stuff.
Well, take a look. When he changed the format, he made it so that it never mentions who an author is in this banner. In the big banner that I'm showing now, it never mentions, unless it's Duff writing, unless it's by Gordon Duff. It doesn't say that it's you at certain times. It doesn't say any of that. When you scroll down, you can't really get to... Did I do that? Oh, yeah. When you scroll down, you can't really get to your featured columnist. There's the chance to look for a writer that you liked is gone. But when he talks about false flag, his featured thing here is the Gilad Altman, maybe they're not all false flags. What I'm positive...
Well, no, that's my radio show.
Yeah, I know. But it's your radio show, but it's not... you're the only person allowed to speak about domestic false flag or domestic issues on VT. I posit to you, Kevin, I've been looking
Are
at this
kidding?
Very carefully.
You gotta be kidding. Preston James talks about it all the time.
Preston James is... That's another fascinating subject. But I want you to really, really look at something. There are issues that veterans could do something about in this country. They could stand up because they're brave and courageous. They might want to make a difference. They could stand up to the fact that our voting machines have been taken over by corporations. They could stand up to the fact that our children are being poisoned by heavy metals in vaccines in an on-purpose effort to harm the United States of America. They could speak up about the aluminum planes coating our skies, and they could speak up about the false flag attacks. And those are the things that if we're being focused on Veterans Today, instead of all this, look overseas. Look at evil Israel. Look at what's happening in Turkey. Look at stuff that's all going on way over there in all these sections. And he's skipping the stuff that the veterans might actually be able to stand up and make a difference about. And why isn't it absolute banner headlines that San Bernardino was phony?
It was. I mean, my piece on San Bernardino being phony was up to pushing like 400,000 reads within a couple of days. It got more reads than every other article on VT put together for a month.
Good.
So the vast majority of clicks on VT during the month of December were all looking at a really good primo article on San Bernardino as a false flag. So, Angel, you are totally off base. There's no directive about not looking at domestic false flags. Gordon himself is saying that all these things are false flags. It's true, though, that there has been a move to focus on world affairs. Why? Well, because the approach here, okay, Gordon is running VT. For him, it's a psychological operation. The world for Gordon is a psychological operation. That's just his prism for interpreting how things work. Now, what is he trying to do? He's trying to influence things for the better. He knows that we've got a really corrupt regime in the U.S., worldwide, and he's trying to do something about it. So he's got these different strategies. Most recently, he's working on becoming a respected medium, that is to get more, we're getting more reach. We're getting twice as much readership as when Fetzer was there. And who are these new readers? They're people who are movers and shakers. They're people who are keeping abreast of global issues. We're getting readers from the highest levels of military and intelligence all over the world. And we're getting readers from serious people involved in world affairs here in the United States. So not only do we have more than twice as many readers now as we had when Jim was there, but they're a much, much more sophisticated and influential bunch of readers. And this is due to Gordon's intentionally reaching out for them. But there has been no getting rid of coverage of false flags or domestic false flags.
Yes,
on the contrary,
dumping
as
Jim's
I said,
almost
half a million reads on the San Bernardino false flag. That was pretty much everything VT did in December.
Dumping Jim's work on it. He'd been covering the false flags and the lies that had been going on domestically better than any other writer at VT.
Jim's stuff was great, and that's why I worked so hard to try to get Jim's stuff put back up, and it finally is back up.
No, it's not.
You know, sure it is.
No, you can't find him anywhere on VT. You go on there and try and look for him anywhere. Maybe if there's a link to it, it's still in their archives, but there's no
URLs are all there. So it's the work is all there on the internet, and Jim can get to it and put it wherever he wants to put it. And I had to intercede, and every time I tried to do this, and I was on the point of getting Jim's stuff restored, Jim would insult Gordon again. And
how?
We'd be back to square one.
What,
he called him names.
I've never heard Jim Fetzer call anybody names. The only person I've heard call people names is Gordon Duff. When I was all set to
have Jim's stuff restored at VT, Jim fires off an email, you know, in response to my email saying, okay, we're going to get your stuff put back up. And Jim fires one off and copies it to Gordon saying, yeah, Gordon Duff committed an intellectual atrocity.
Okay, that's not calling him a name. That's
whatever.
Different.
Of course, if you want somebody to be nice to you and do something for you, you don't say something like that. But Jim doesn't know that, apparently.
This is you and Jim on my show. You ready, Don? Here we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Jack, you're on.
But they are in rather crucial positions, Kevin, which disturbs me all the more. But
I want to say it was just sensational that you should have been in Paris, that you should have been in the position to author this article, that you had put together the Charlie Hebdo collection, and now you're going to put together one on what has happened in Paris. You have my congratulations and admiration. You're doing great work, my friend.
Oh, I got to step in there because this is so much fun. That would have been the point if I were a Fox News moderator. Well, I would have been pleased with myself because you guys were having a back and forth. And I've watched, we've got this divide and conquer strategy going on and this flipping all over the place. And it's absolute standard warfare from the corporatists that want to end the power of the Constitution of the United States. But the both of you have disagreed on so many things, so much, but you're like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. You always come back to your friendship, and you know, that whole exchange we disagreed ended with James Fetzer being sure to congratulate you. One, how do you guys do that? Two, where can we be sure and watch you some more so we know that we have that access? Those are the first two questions in the last few minutes we got.
Well, it's easy to get, you know, a lot of people say, how in the world can you get along with Jim Fetzer? There are a lot of people who can't. And I say, well, you know, I've known Jim personally for a long time. If you actually know Jim in person, and, you know, he lives just down the road from me, kind of, you appreciate him as a human being perhaps more than if all you're doing is fighting with him in the comment section on the internet.
Fighting with them in the comment section of the internet. Intellectual dishonesty is not calling somebody a name. Intellectual dishonesty is a description that Dr. Fetzer used for something he thought
was
intellectually
atrocity.
Dishonest.
Atrocity,
intellectual
not
atrocity. I think removing his articles in whatever huff that Duff had was an atrocity. Don't you?
Right. But when you're trying to negotiate and mend fences and get the articles put back up, you don't just throw that off gratuitously in his face, right?
It was an atrocity, and I don't know, was he trying to mend fences? Was he trying
to get
the URLs
back up?
Of course,
that's what I'm explaining to you, is that this, as I said, I had to spend a vast amount of time and energy trying to negotiate with VT and with Jim to get Jim's articles put back up. And each time, just when I was about to get it put back up, then something new would come along, and usually would be Jim insulting Gordon.
That's saying that that's an intellectual atrocity is an accurate description. That's not insulting Gordon. That's not calling him names. Fetzer is the least ad hominem person I've ever seen.
You know, from Gordon's perspective, Jim's work with Jade Helm or Paul McCartney would be at least as big an intellectual atrocity as anything anybody could do with Jim's
stories. Okay, that Jade Helm thing.
Gordon isn't going to say that when they're trying in a diplomatic session.
You mocked Jim so much about the Walmart thing. It was oh, everybody's going to go into Walmart. I heard that all the time. So tell me what was atrocious about Jim's worry that Jade Helm was... seriously, Kevin, what was atrocious about his fear that Jade Helm had more to it than we were being told?
Well, I think that Jade Helm was an obvious psyop. It was being designed to get the idiots and operatives in the alternative media. And, you know, those are two categories that shade into each other, but they ultimately end up working together much of the time. The Islamophobic element in the alternative media today, the InfoWars and Rents is in on this, all of these morons who are buying into Islamophobia because they've been brainwashed at the unconscious level that Muslims are bad due to these false flags. These kind of people are the same people that were being railroaded to whip up fear and paranoia around Jade Helm.
Okay.
And why was that being done? That was being done to try, I think one of the reasons was to try to torpedo the Iran nuclear agreement. There's a huge pushback by the hard right Zionists right now, the neocons, to try to destroy the Iran nuclear agreement. And they have mobilized their assets in the alternative media to whip up hysterical paranoia targeting Obama. And Obama, of course, is just a middle management front man. He has no power. He does nothing. But they whipped up all this hysteria about Obama, tapping into the latent racism of a lot of these people, these
absolutely
so-called alternative media people who have a lot of racism deeply imbued in them. That's why the Islamophobia is coming out of them as well. So those morons and operatives were being targeted with propaganda to get them whipped up into hysteria and fear over Jade Helm. That's what Jade Helm was.
Well, that's that's your belief. That's your, and I respect that belief. And other people's belief was that
it
was potentially.
Turned out I was right, didn't it? Are you and I both locked up in Walmart right now?
It may have had all sorts of other more sinister possibilities, and it may be that those were stopped by the attention that was given it, just like war was stopped with Syria when people said, no, Assad did not use chemical weapons, it was the rebels through Turkey that did it. So it's people standing up and saying, this might very well be something we should take a look at, that has stopped some of these things. How is it not imminently forgivable that people like Jim and others would stand up and say, look at this, what's going on here? And rather than be mocked, oh, I'm absolutely certain it's a psyop to make you think something's going on. Seriously, Kevin.
It's a matter of sifting and winnowing through the evidence.
Sure.
And there was never a shred of serious evidence that Jade Helm was likely to bring in full-scale martial law. Just none.
There were pictures of
repairs going on at Walmart. You know, there were crazy videos, you know, the whole Jade Helm was really, you know, it's like 1,000 guys, you know, doing some stupid Yahoo maneuver in Texas. It's like there was no evidence whatsoever for these exaggerated fears that was all about bringing in martial law on the back of this tiny little military exercise. 1,000 guys in Texas.
After
if
everything,
you looked at what Gordon was saying and what the various Jade Helm alarmists were saying at the time, it was obvious who was making sense and who was arguing using logic and evidence.
I listened to the whole thing the entire time, and I couldn't disagree with you more. There are so many times when these drills have gone live. So many times. How on earth can that be such a crime? Such the most, oh my God, these guys fell for this thing when what they're doing is trying as hard as they can to make sure they point out these drills so they can't go live. You do not know that wasn't something that was meant to go live and it was stopped by these alarmists. There's no way for you to know that.
How could it go live? How could 1,000 guys in Texas go live into anything? What are you talking about?
Something big happens. If we hadn't had a spotlight on it, they bring in some little false flag thing that actually kills people. Or they have a big show and claim a bunch of people were killed over something. They did it shortly thereafter in San Bernardino. And thank heavens you're saying something about it on Veterans Today, or nobody would be. No. I don't understand how, Kevin, this is so important to me because I started this whole thing with Veterans Today. I've had both of you on my show. Kaloa Pele blog praised our show because of the way I talked about the two of you getting along together. And now this is broken up, and it came from the fact that for some reason you and Gordon Duff can't forgive Jim Fetzer for standing up and saying, look at this, let's make sure we shine a spotlight on this giant thing.
Yeah, I can forgive Jim Fetzer for that and for other cases where he's been wrong. I don't have a problem with Jim being wrong. Actually, Jim does a lot of really good work. And everybody has the right to be wrong sometimes.
Sure.
That's not a problem. But what my problem is with Jim's personal, boorish, obnoxious behavior to me personally. That's the issue. Not with his opinions, not with him being wrong about Paul McCartney or Jade Helm. I don't have a problem with those things at all.
If he were wrong about Paul McCartney would be, the guy that's pretending to be Paul McCartney, would be suing him right now. Just like if our beloved Jim Tracy were wrong, then the Posners would be in court suing him. I hope Jim manages to get it to court somehow. But they can't sue him. There's no way they could go into a court of law. And there's no way that Fall Billy Shears, or whatever his name is going to be able to take Jim into a court of law for doing the exposing that he's done on something like that. There are so many things going on out there. Again, Kevin, how is it that you've said he was boorish? And I've watched everything you guys have done for the last year. I've been following both of you like clockwork. I mean, you're on my show. I mean, I think of you as friends and colleagues. And I don't, I've seen him be loud and a little obnoxious, but boorish? No, out calling people names? I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, you can go back and watch the episode that we did from Paris, where he spent like the first half of the show ranting and raving about how wonderful it was that Donald Trump was going to lock Muslims out of the United States. Here I was in Paris doing an Islamophobia conference, if Jim and Donald Trump had their way, I wouldn't be allowed back into the United States.
I don't think he was talking about any Muslim at all.
Now, that's an opinion. That's such a bad opinion that I don't want to work with him if he holds that opinion. But he didn't just hold that opinion. He spent half an hour talking over me, interrupting me, not letting me get a word in edgewise, telling me that me and my family should be locked out of the United States.
He didn't say anything of the kind. I watched that show several times.
He's obviously, he's living in a different world than I am at that point.
Dr. Barrett?
Not just that opinion is so wrong that he should not even be allowed to live in the United States.
You're doing straw man and red herring all over the place.
That is not an American. Doesn't respect our country's heritage as a refuge for people of all religions to live together.
Kevin, the way he expressed it
was so extreme that, frankly, I have no desire to work with him in that capacity.
I understand that.
I will respect his work.
But meanwhile,
he does good work, and I will cheer for it from afar.
Okay. Meanwhile, you're mischaracterizing what he said. He didn't want you and your family kept out. What he was saying, and didn't have the chance to elucidate long enough before he started being mischaracterized as somebody who wants to keep all Muslims out. What he was saying is he didn't trust what was going on because these powers that we hope almost are someday soon, because they wanted these refugees everywhere in so bad, he smelled a rat, and I do too. It has nothing to do with somebody being Muslim or not being Muslim, although I'm not very fond of any kind of religious extremism, especially Christian or Jewish. But the fact
that
the powers
about extremism.
It's the extremism that is to be worried about, and the fact that the powers that
be.
Here's the question.
Block all Muslims out. No Muslims can cross the border coming into the United
until
States
until we find out what's going on. And he meant refugees.
Muslims in the United States should have to register and wear a golden moon or something, the way
Jim
the Jews
Fetzer
had to
never
wear stars
that.
In Nazi Germany.
Jim Fetzer never said that. He never said anything of the kind.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. He Donald Trump might have said something like Trump's that, but Jim Fetzer didn't say Muslims should wear something on their sleeves. It's shocking that you would make a characterization like that, Kevin. He never said anything of the kind. Now, here is an honest question, and it's one that I had planned and hoped to ask you. If these powers that are going to be gone soon want a whole bunch of people, like millions, coming into the United States and coming into Europe from countries that are absolutely filled with people being paid off by the people that Gordon Duff admits created ISIS and created al-Qaeda and all that stuff. This is filled with people like that. Why in the world is there suddenly this refugee crisis when what we really want to do and talk about is making their homeland safe for them to stay? I smell a rat, and I think it's okay that I smell a rat on that. Do you think it's just absolutely everybody coming in is peachy dandy, and they're not going to try and use it to foment more discord, especially against Muslims?
I think this is another neocon psyop, just like Jade Helm. I think that they're whipping up tension. And the refugees are naturally going to cause tension by destroying these countries. They inevitably created a lot of refugees, and now the neocons want to whip up tension to make people hate these refugees.
Yes.
So what are the neocons doing? They're like organizing, mass rape PSYOP events.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yes.
And so everybody who's getting all excited, oh my God, refugees, refugees, ISIS, ISIS, they're falling for the neocon PSYOP again, just like you fell for Jade Helm.
And that is something that should be looked at, not just here. Come on in, everybody, even you 25-year-old guys with U.S. Army tattoos and beards. Come on in and pretend to be Syrian refugees, just because somebody gave you a dialect coach and said, oh, yes, I'm from Syria. Here is my family. And, I'm not buying anything on this warlord media anymore, Kevin. It's all lies. You know that as well as I do. And what I don't understand
is... That's the problem, is that you're buying into the PSYOP. I mean,
PSYOP.
If they want to bring some false flag ISIS people in to blow things up or shoot things up here or be patsies, which is more like it, they probably use the white paramilitaries always to do the shootings, and then they can find a brown-skinned patsy. They don't need refugees to have patsies. This has nothing to do with it. There is no threat whatsoever from these refugees. They can have all the patsies they want with or without the refugees. And by falling for this hatred of Muslim brown-skinned refugees, oh my God, brown-skinned Muslims coming into the West, how horrible.
Yes.
This is what the neocons want you to think.
Yes. Yes. I'm in complete agreement with you. Yes, and therefore, it's a situation that should be looked at carefully and not just accepted because the corporate warlord media pulls some heartstrings and says, let's bring all these people in here. It shouldn't just be accepted. It should be scrutinized.
Yeah,
you're right.
Of course. Well, let's scrutinize. Yeah, but I mean, we know what's going on. We know that the neocons staged a coup d'etat on 9/11. We know that they staged all the other big false flags since then.
Yes.
We know that their aim is to polarize people, and especially using Islamophobia to turn the U.S. into a fascist dictatorship. You know, people say that the Trump doesn't get along with the neocons, but maybe that's because he's the ultimate wet dream of the neocons. I mean, this is basically what they want. We have to scrutinize all of this. Once we scrutinize it and we see what's going on, don't blame the refugees. You know, the West owes the people of Iraq and Syria a hell of a lot more than just letting a few million people to come to the West if they want to. We owe them a hell of a lot more than that. We owe them trillions of dollars to rebuild their countries.
I couldn't agree with you more. See, we're in complete agreement. It's just it's the little disagreements that people have been allowed to be mischaracterized. The most important issue, arguably, in this entire country, Dr. Barrett, is the fact that the voting machines have been stolen by these neocons and by these corporations, and they're little by little they're getting more and more control, which means that they plan to steal the election for whoever the Republican nominee is. And I'm going to ask you right now, who do you want that to be?
Well,
which Republican nominee would you rather have than Trump? No, which one?
Rand Paul is probably the least worst of the major candidates.
Good luck on that. No chance. I'd love that potentially too. But how many more, Don? Three. Wow, what an exciting show. So you don't have anybody. I'm an actor, Kevin, and I'm telling you.
Voted for Republican in my life.
Oh, no, but I'm saying if they steal the election, they have it all set up to steal the election. They have in place the voter suppression laws, and if they can get a Hillary in there and get enough negatives in so that the only way to beat their election stealing machine, like happened with Bush twice, is to overwhelm it. The only way Obama beat Mitt Romney was because people waited in line for 12 hours everywhere, and Anonymous shut down Karl Rove's 150 person vote stealing operation in a basement in Ohio, which made him go ballistic.
With the help of certain intelligence community people that Gordon Duff knows, so you can partly thank Gordon for Mitt Romney not being president.
Then why doesn't he talk about voting machines on Veterans Today?
We do.
When?
We've done voting machine
stuff. I've never seen a single piece on the phony voting machines in this country, or Kemp, or the aluminum plane trails, and I watch all the time.
Well, I'll make sure we get a few. Don't worry.
Okay, and promised me energy, too.
We talked about that all the time during the run-up to the last presidential
election. The last time, my friend, you promised me you would talk about the suppressed energy devices and permaculture and year-round gardening techniques.
I just talked about suppressed energy devices with
Where?
Makia Freeman.
Where?
On my latest radio show. I guess it hasn't been broadcast yet, so you'll have to listen to that show.
Oh, you know you're coming on the show with me, so finally you do a little talking about the free energy that I've been pushing you for, huh? Okay.
Well, I guess I should give you credit, but I honestly didn't remember that.
You remember my making you promise? I did the same thing with Joaquin Magopium. You promised me that you would actually start talking about the energy devices that can help heal and cure the planet. Mm-hmm.
Well, you should definitely tune in to the next episode of Truth Jihad Radio.
That's Truth Jihad Radio? Is that what's the URL for that?
Well, you can get there by way of truthjihad.com. And
truthjihad.com.
Just click on the video link.
Okay. And what are our other links to find you and follow you?
Well, go to the book website, Another French False Flag.
Uh-huh. Another French False Flag.
.com.
Good. And what about your False Flag? Where was the best place to find that?
False Flag Weekly News. You can just Google that one or throw it into the YouTube search engine and
you go to YouTube and you search No Lies Radio, and then you click on No Lies Radio on videos. Once you get to videos, then they're in order. But if you just go No Lies Radio, you might get one from months ago if you want to get the latest one. Tony Hall has now joined you on False Flag Weekly News, and I congratulate him on his fine work. It's nice to have his views from Canada, and I continue to wish you the best of luck. I think you're a brave and wonderful man, especially for coming on the show and letting me rant at you. So thank you.
Thank you for tolerating my rant as well.
Bless you, Dr. Barrett. It was been great having you.
Likewise, Andrew.
It certainly was. It was a real lively show.
Festival.
I wasn't quite expecting this, but I think it came out good. So
I hope so.
Anyway, thank you so much, and we're out of here. Great.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks,
right,
Kevin.
Bye.
Bye.
We can do it. Yes, we can. We can change things throughout the land.
I'm as mad as hell.
But we all must
take this anymore.
Lend a hand. We can do it. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, your neighbor over there, a bit bewildered.
How you doing, Don?
But he cares.
Don?
He just doesn't know what to do. Join
are
together,
you
and then there'll be two.
You're not here.
There are others
all around.
No, I can hear you now.
Scattered.
Can you give me just
throughout
a second?
The town?
Oh, yeah. I can give you about 15 minutes.
Reach out, and
you
will see.
Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Less than 3% of you people read books, because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. Television is not the truth. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds.
Broadcasting live on network radio.
So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off and leave them off.
Say with moral certainty and considerable scientific authority that the death of JFK was committed by a meticulously executed conspiracy which was obscured by an extensive cover-up. Murder in Dealey Plaza, edited by James Fetzer, goes to the heart of the JFK assassination. You'll read new and up-to-date information regarding the Secret Service, the Lincoln limousine, the medical evidence, the cover-up, altering the film, framing the patsy, and the silent historians. Also, 16 smoking guns, each one crushing the government's lone assassin scenario. A world-class chronology of November 22nd, 1963. Chapters by David W. Mantic, Gary Aguilar, Vincent Palomara, Douglas Weldon, Jack White, Ira David Wood III, James H. Fetzer, Doug Horn, and a classic essay by Bertrand Russell. The complete story in the pages of one single book, edited by James H. Fetzer. Read it now. Read it again. You'll use it as a reference. Murder in Dealey Plaza. Available at Amazon.com and major bookstores around the world. It's murder.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
You're ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
So my name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
Welcome to TruthVersusNews.inc. I'm Activist Angel. This is the Solution Series. Thank you very much to Don Gron. We have the great Dr. James Fetzer on today, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the divide and conquer strategy that seems to be so effective amongst people who care about the truth and care about solutions and care about what's going on in this planet in the deep areas of reality, way beyond what people see on the corporate-controlled warlord profiteer media stream that hypnotizes people. Mostly. So there you are. Hey, people out there. Shout out to Mark in Houston. Thank you, Mark, because after my interview last week with Dr. Kevin Barrett, I became kind of depressed and I was going to leave this show. I was going to say right here on camera, thank you very much. I'm done. But someone did email me at activistangel@gmail.com and I did establish a relationship with somebody that is making this worthwhile. My interview last week was so troubling to me because I really didn't feel like I could get through. I don't know if you're out there. If you're out there and you're watching, email me, activistangel@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. If not, to be honest, my audience is the person I had on last week and the brilliant man who's going to be on today, who we talked about last week, and now we're going to give a chance to have his say about what was spoken about last week. So it's going to be very interesting. He's got some great slides, and we're thrilled to have him. As usual, stay tuned. We've got a little song, and then away we go.
We can do it, yes we can. We can change things throughout the land.
I'm as mad as hell.
But we all must
take this anymore.
Lend a hand. We can do it, oh yes we can. Oh, your neighbor over there, a bit bewildered, but he cares. He just doesn't know what to do. Join together, and then there'll be two. There are others all around, scattered throughout the town. Reach out, and you will see your numbers swell to three.
We can do it. Yes, we can. We can change things throughout the land. But we all must lend a hand. We can do it. Oh, yes, we can.
To Truth Versus News. We have Dr. James Fetzer on today. I'm echoing, Don. I'm echoing. It's nice in a recording studio, but here it doesn't work so well. It's a very exciting time, and I'm actually feeling pretty good because I have been working with our guest today because I think he is the finest researcher that we have available to us, an intellect that is absolutely stunning, and every time that he has anything to say, it's sourced and linked and researched and available in ways that are completely accessible. He writes brilliantly. His latest book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, was banned by Amazon. He then put it free on the web, and it became a sensation across the truth webs. You can find it at rents.com, but soon you're going to be able to find it at jimfetzer.org because the fans of Fetzer are now creating a website for Dr. Fetzer, and that's going to be even more exciting. So, as usual, welcome back to our show.
Hey, Angel, Jim. Thanks for those kind words.
Oh,
I really
my goodness.
Appreciate them.
Just love it.
This, in many ways, is falling out with Kevin Barrett. Is one of the oddest experiences of my life because, as the first slide shows, we go back a long way. Kevin, of course, is a convert to Islam, and it frequently turns out that converts are more zealous in their defense of a religion than those who grew up as, in this case, Muslims. But the point I would make is we first met in Chicago at a 9/11 conference in early 2006. And when I was invited to do a five-day-a-week show on GCN, I only wanted to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so I invited Kevin to do Monday and Friday. We called it the Dynamic Duo. It ran for a year and a half. It was very, very successful. In 2010, I organized a symposium at Friend's House in London entitled Debunking the War on Terror. I flew Kevin to London for that purpose. The Vancouver hearings were held in Vancouver in 2012. I flew Kevin to Vancouver to participate. The Midwest 9/11 Truth Conference 2013, I drove Kevin to Champaign-Urbana, put him up on that occasion. False Flag Weekly News, when Alan Reese of No Lies Radio had the inspiration, I was very glad to participate. I thought it was extremely successful right up to the point of our rupture. Lasted 2014, 2015. In some ways, I'm suspicious that it was too good, but I'll explain what happened with Kevin. If you go to the next slide, number two, you'll see the slide for that particular show on the 10th of December, 2015, where I was to be doing it solo. I mean, Alan Reese had explained to me that Kevin would be traveling to Paris and I'd be doing the show solo. So I prepared 50 stories, which I can cover in an hour. But usually, you know, that's better if I'm the sole commentator, because if Kevin has to comment when you have 50 stories, you know, that's not a whole lot of time. So I was a bit taken aback when Kevin showed up in Paris and Alan put him on, saying it was Kevin's show, so it would be appropriate. That came as a bit of news to me because I thought it was our show. In the past, I provided 90% of the stories and did 70% of the analysis. So I know, Angel, you have a little clip from this show, and you might as well go and play it now.
Let's do it. Okay. It's about 3 minutes long.
About narrow-mindedness. Talk about bigotry. Talk about idiocy. Talk about utter and complete ignorance. Living in only one brief moment of the present and saying, the way I live now is the only way that humans can live, and anybody else is a whatever. Call a name. You know, a homophobe, whatever. Yeah, just show, you know, people who think that way, just show what complete and utter morons they are.
Kevin, I have been simply astonished on this very show when you displayed your utter contempt for homosexuals. I'm a different strokes for different folks.
I don't have any contempt whatsoever for homosexuals. I have friends who are to think of themselves as homosexuals. I don't have a problem with people. I do think that, you know, that it's makes, there's nothing wrong with the vast majority of cultures and virtually all of Western cultural history, which includes Islamic, but is also Jewish and Christian, has said that it's wrong. It's wrong to have these particular sexual acts. There are lots of sexual acts between people of the same gender that are equally wrong, okay? Such as anything outside of marriage. So trying to call me a bigot against a class of people is completely insane. You're slandering me.
Kevin, you've proven my point. I don't have to slander. The truth is an absolute defense against slander. You made the strongest anti-homosexual remarks I've ever encountered from any one of my personal acquaintance right on this show, Kevin. Our viewers can go back and document it for themselves. You're offering a pretense of a vague apology for positions you advocate intensely, and I cannot admire you for that.
What position are you talking about?
Your anti-sodomy rants, Kevin, which have taken place on this very, very program in past episodes. Let's move on to San Bernardino. The evidence
I don't remember
them. The evidence, By the way, I was told I was doing this show solo. Kevin came in 5 minutes before the program. I didn't anticipate his being here, and I would just assume he hadn't been here today. That's my opinion. Let's go to San Bernardino.
Well, the viewers can judge for themselves. Who's a bombastic, loudmouth asshole?
Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, you are a bombastic, loudmouth asshole. The viewer.
I had that same reaction when I heard that. I mean, the same look that's on Jim's face in this thing was the look I had on my face when that happened.
Well, it was pretty appalling, Angel. I was really shocked. In fact, hearing it again, actually for the first time since the occurrence, it leads me to realize why, after this show, I notified Alan Reese that I was leaving. I had already contacted Jeff Rantz, who'd invited me to do a new show on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which I began last week, from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's called The Raw Deal. But if you look at the next slide now, look at slide number 3, you'll see where Kevin came on, both with Gordon Duff, with whom he replaced me, rather to my astonishment, the following show.
It didn't last long.
and then with you, during the interview you did last week, where he attacked me on personality, style, Veterans Today, 150 articles deleted. He actually said to you, it wouldn't be surprising to him if I'd told Gordon Duff to take down those articles, which is about as bizarre as it gets.
No, he claimed Gordon Duff told him you did that. That was his, and we had the argument where I said, I don't believe Gordon Duff, I believe Jim Fetzer.
Well, yeah, what I said to Gordon was, look, he bounced me because of Jade Helm. I was writing on Jade Helm, he didn't like it, he bounced me from Veterans Today. But he left my name up as though I were still a contributor and an editor. So 4 weeks later, I said, Gordon, you still have my name up. Don't you think it's time to take it down? Not the 150 articles. He understood the difference. Kevin understood the difference because I virtually immediately shared with Kevin that Gordon had taken down 150 articles, which I regarded then and regard today as an intellectual atrocity. And at the time, Kevin, not feeling this profound hostility toward me, actually took an active role in having them restored. But it would have been absurd if I'd said to take down the articles that I should have immediately reported that Gordon had taken them down and Kevin gone to all this work to have them restored. It took such a hit on the readership, which by my calculation dropped by about 50%, that the editorial board 6 weeks later voted to have them restored. And as of now, with a certain glitch in between, they are restored. But all the links they had worldwide, Angel, were completely destroyed. I mean, it was a very effective technique. If you wanted to take 150 articles about JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, and just, you know, massacre them, that's exactly what Gordon Duff did. And it just rather dumbfounds me that Kevin would feign, he even suggest the least hint that I wanted that to happen. I mean, that is bizarre.
And on the show, I made it clear to Kevin that I really showed him that Veterans Today is by its own admission, one, not truthful, and the removing of your articles made it so that Veterans Today really, and I've got all sorts of examples I could show, really focuses veterans in America's consciousness overseas. It never talks about anything that a veteran could actually do something about here in the United States, geoengineering, vaccines, energy suppression, the actual false flags that you spoke about. You were prolific and brilliant, and you had some of the best readership, and you were speaking about things that actually mattered right here. And that's what I think is going on. I think VT is doing that on purpose. And you,
well,
and
Angel,
you were taking down
the purpose. Very interesting. The issue that seemed to have broken our relationship was my attempt to explain why Trump's proposal for a temporary ban on Muslim immigration into the United States was going down favorably with the American people.
Yeah.
I'll turn to that momentarily, but for him to come on and claim I was fired when I'd already notified Alan Reese a week before that I was leaving the show, and to say they were going to seek to elevate the level of professionalism. I mean, how much professionalism did we just hear on that clip? I mean, Angel, it's shocking to me to hear it again, all right? And then, of course, he has felt he's superior to me across a host of issues, including Rebecca Roth, Paul McCartney, Jade Helm. And then something happened by the end of the year. He didn't even mention that Nobody Died at Sandy Hook had been banned, which I found very, very positive.
On his end-of-the-year show, the important things that happened in the year, he didn't hear a lot. On the show from last week, people, if you want to look at it, I bring all these issues up with Kevin, and he was absolutely, I'm sorry, Kevin, you're a wonderful man, you're a brave man, your books are amazing, and I used to respect you, but you were so disingenuous with me that I lost a lot of hope. I'm glad I'm getting some of it back. Thanks to readership and you, Dr. Fetzer. It was tough.
Well, if you go to the next slide, number four, Angel, you'll see that this is what I was beginning to explain, why the American people would be receptive to a proposal for a temporary ban, given that 9/11 was blamed on 19 Muslim terrorists, Boston bombing was blamed on Muslim, Charlie Hebdo was blamed on Muslim, Paris attacks were blamed on Muslims. San Bernardino was blamed on Muslims. ISIS is a creation of bad Muslims. Iran is run by bad Muslims. Muslim hordes are invading Europe. Now, all of those propositions, 1 through 7, I regard as false because these were staged events and so forth, which I have exposed dozens and dozens of times. To the best of my knowledge, given the reports I've been receiving, the Muslim hordes invading Europe, all kinds of gang rapes and other improprieties are taking place today. But each time I would send a story to Kevin for us to discuss, he would drop it. It would just never appear. The obvious conclusions that follow from 1 through 8 or 9, Muslims are bad. And 10, keep them out of the United States, at least temporarily, till we can figure out what's going on, so I side with Trump, but he was completely offended by this. He has even said to me, when I tried to explain to him that he could not publish my article in his book, that I was trying to ban him and his family from coming into the United States. Not my intention. That's just a perversion.
Was such a red herring, such a straw man. I couldn't believe it was like I could have gone fishing in our conversation. I tried to bring these things up with him. I tried to reason, and it just didn't work.
Now, look, that show is on the 10th, so the next show would be on the 17th. Well, I'd already called Alan Reese, as the next slide shows, on the 13th. This was a written email
there
to formalize what I'd already told him over the phone. Namely, that I was leaving the show, that I was going to have a new show, that it had a different name. It was going to be on 2 days a week. It wasn't going to be in competition with the False Flag Weekly News. And I thought it was very important that there be a smooth transition. You'll see there I volunteered for a proposal for the transition to have Kevin do the show solo this week, me do the show solo the next week, and then we finally do a show together and explain our parting of ways. And notice how Alan Reese at the bottom says, thanks, Jim, and I wish you good luck with your new show. But as you know, I don't know if you, as you know now, Kevin instead came on and said I was fired.
Yep.
And he even made a reference to my going to the Islamophobic Rents Network, which meant he knew I was going to Rents, which means he knew I had already left the show. So how can he be firing me? I mean, this is really rather unconscionable and highly unprofessional. I mean, his mentioning this business about professionalism just dumbfounded me. and Angel, if you go to the next slide, I think it's 6. We have his book there.
Yeah.
Well, in the meanwhile, on the 15th of December, I'd emailed him to say, Kevin, I hereby withdraw my chapter from consideration for inclusion in your book. And yet, Angel, he went ahead and published it. I have a copy right here.
Your chapter's in there?
Yeah, he went ahead and put it in anyway.
You're
and I
kidding.
Just, you know, it, to me, it's rather stunning. It's chapter number 13. And You know, wow. He said in his conversation with you that I was obnoxious. And
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what justified that. And I now believe, looking at his book and the way he's got all the footnotes consolidated together at the back of the book, that my insisting that he take it out after he'd already published it with a chapter in caused him a lot of anguish. He had to pull the book out of and take the chapter out and re-edit, you know, all the notes. So that would be a pain in the ass, and I'm not surprised, therefore, that he might translate that into claiming that I'm obnoxious when I'm simply being principled.
He said called people names. He accused you of calling people names. And when I said I've never heard that one word. He brought up the intellectual atrocity thing, and I said to him, it was an intellectual atrocity. That's not being ad hominem at all. I've never heard you. You're an example in that regard for me. I try to be more like you.
That's right. And as Don noticed, he somehow inadvertently left out my bio sketch in his list of contributors. Now, I think that was a pure Freudian slip.
Really?
But the fact that he had the chapter in is number 13, the title of which is How We Know ISIS Was Made in the USA. I mean,
it's a very good chapter, by the way. I think it's
in a properly edited book, that ought to have been one of the very first chapters, number 13.
Yeah,
I found that rather odd, too.
They have chapters are in different categories, you know.
Can I get clear? You're saying that he did or did not edit it out of the final book.
It's still in there.
No, he left it in. For the printing, when he knew better and should not have.
Wow.
I believe he thought I would simply accept that it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I'd already written him to not include it, and I reaffirmed that he's got to take it out. So I think the book was thereafter temporarily unavailable. I think he had to re-edit it, and he found that such a pain. And I agree, that would be a pain to do, which
sure.
is why I notified him early. I was such a pain that he had to go back and re-edit it. I mean, I believe now the available edition is not going to have me in there.
Oh.
But that he had to redo the notes. I mean, he's got hundreds of notes he had to redo. And I think this is what lay behind his characterizing me as obnoxious.
Well, there's over 300 notes and way over 330 pages. So it's a pretty comprehensive book with a lot of different authors in there.
Yeah, but
really
Don,
good.
The point I'm making is he's going to have to redo the notes from my chapter 13.
Oh,
take
them
out, remove those notes, and redo every footnote in the whole rest of the book.
Yeah, go through the footnotes, pick out the ones that are referenced by you, and then renumber everything. Oh, that's going to be really tough.
No, they're in a block.
The ones
in my article are all in a block. But when you take those out, it changes the numbers for all the rest of the footnotes.
The computers take care of that pretty easily.
Well, maybe, Don, maybe. If he did it by computer, maybe that's what he did, in which case I won't worry about it. But look, he has faulted me about Rebecca Roth, about Paul McCartney, about Jade Helm. So I want to talk a bit about each and then carry the argument further, because I think he's wrong on all counts. But look at the next slide here, number
seven.
What is seven?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin published a big article in Veterans Today, Airline Whistleblower Solves 911. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. At this point, I only had a dim awareness of Rebecca Roth. I wasn't at all confident who she was. I certainly looked askance at the very idea, but I was willing to see what she had to say. So if you look at the next slide,
number eight.
I actually would publish three blogs about Rebecca. The first was entitled Rebecca Roth's Methodical Illusion, Pros and Cons. And I pointed out that I liked what she had to say about the Israeli involvement in 9/11. I like what she had to say about the gelatin group who were in the towers and who I believe prepped the facades to create those cutouts as though planes had actually hit them. But that I was troubled because Dennis Camino, who was the former top electronics troubleshooter for the Navy before he left and went to work with Raytheon, had received a phone call from Rebecca that lasted 6 hours, during which he became convinced that she was not the real deal, including because she didn't understand that when you turn off a transponder, although that's a positive signal identifying the aircraft, is shut off. That doesn't mean that the image of the plane is no longer on radar, which occurs when radio waves bounce off of objects in space. So her conflating the two was a mistake that undermined her credibility.
Yeah.
And then she talked about how one of the planes approaching Westover Air Force Base, where she maintains all four of the planes landed and where the fake phone calls originated, in order to maintain her timeline, this plane had to drop from 21 or 22,000 feet for landing at an airport 9 miles away when it was traveling at 8 miles a minute. And Dennis found that incredible. He has a great deal of aviation and piloting experience. And I think his points are impeccable that, you know, Rebecca had to rush the cadence with this plane getting onto the ground by giving it an impossible landing plan in order to preserve the time. But here, even in my first blog, Pros and Cons, I was giving her credit. If you read to the bottom of the blog, it says, I welcome her to the 9/11 community.
Yep, well, I remember that.
Meanwhile, a lot of research was going on, and evidence was accumulating that she wasn't the person she claimed to be. Questions were being raised about her identity. And I published a second blog, Rebecca's Methodical Illusion, Maybe Rebecca Herself Here. And if you turn to the next slide, among the points I was making, and you'll see at the bottom
nine
of the images,
we'd
already discovered that Rebecca had the same voice, the same coquettish sound, the same laugh as someone by the name of Monica Gaynor, who was on a Fix Your Health program with a fellow by the name of Michael, and now she had a new show with a fellow by the name of Ramjet. It turns out Michael and Ramjet are the same person, just as Rebecca and Monica are the same person. And here I was pointing out that Rebecca casts all responsibility onto Israel, none of it onto the United States,
yep.
And that therefore appeared to be part of her ploy. So she's reestablishing the planes and the passengers in the air, where my collaborative research as founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth had led to the conclusion none of the planes had crashed on as advertised, none of the passengers had died, and therefore none of these so-called hijackers had caused them to crash, where David Ray Griffin points out in his magisterial work, the 9/11 Commission report omissions and distortions, and a half a dozen or more of these guys turned up alive and well the following day and were interviewed by the British media.
Yeah.
So that something was wrong with Rebecca was becoming increasingly obvious. And then there was a third by Alan Powell entitled Rebecca Roth, A Fiction Writing Fiction About a Fiction, which was even more devastating. But a lot of work was going on by other parties to all this. And she was being fired from her original Truth Frequency radio show. She was picked up by Mike Adams, who had a talk network. But she was fired there again. She's been reduced to doing a blog talk thing intermittently. But let me just point out some of the evidence here. This is a particularly telling, because this was from a fellow who was a Marine stationed at Westover, who said that there was no evacuation.
What slide are we on now, Jim? What slide? Huh? Are we on 10 now?
Are we on slide 10 now.
Okay, now 10. There we go.
We're on 10.
Okay.
Now, this was a Marine who was actually stationed at Westover. According to Rebecca's story, there was an evacuation of the base so these planes could be brought in and these passengers aboard could be dealt with as they will and conduct these phony phone calls. But here's a Marine who was stationed there, and reports that there was no personnel were put up in any hotels or substitute housing, that there was no evacuation of the base. What it means is this particular report just blows her entire story out of the water. In other words, I had a whole lot of circumstantial evidence, including the reports from Dennis that she wasn't who she claimed to be. But this report just blows the whole story out of the water. That means her whole score, her whole story is a complete fabrication. But Kevin Barrett swooned over Rebecca Roth. He fell for her hook, line, and sinker. Look at the next slide, number 11. I discovered Coran Ashley. Actually, it was another party. I get a lot of information for a lot of sources. Here's Coran Ashley.
There
That's
she
a
is.
Third name. Where she's in real estate in Bellevue, Washington.
Oh, no.
Look at the next slide.
That's near here.
My backyard.
Oh, no.
Angel, look at the next slide, number 13.
No, 12.
Here's Coran Ashley offering herself to be a model. She's 63 years old, white. She has blue eyes, blonde hair, 5 feet tall, 125 pounds. That's the same woman. That's Corinne Ashley. Now look at the third one, the next one. This
13.
Is number 13.
There you go, yeah.
Have you seen this video? Rebecca Roth is going after the 9/11 truthers, going after her for not being a flight attendant. She's also making a statement to look out for anyone against her and flag them that Three Flags will close their YouTube account. The man speaking on the video sounds very similar to the man on the health, Fix Your Health, that she's got the spelling wrong because it's lowercase p, capital H, as in pH measures of acidity and alkalinity. But the fact is she was, gearing up her followers to go after those of us who had exposed her, none of whom, to the best of my knowledge, have harassed her in any way, shape, or form. I've never even sent her so much as an email. But look at the next.
The misspellings on that are just staggering, too. All startments and the whole thing's misspelled horribly, too.
She is so brazen, it's unbelievable. Now look at this. Here's a post she put up on her Facebook account. Rebecca Roth. I need an army of you to flag the YouTubes of Fetzer, Chris Geo, Pete Santilli, and Kurt Haskell. This is something you know how to do. Please make it over to YouTube, and let's get these trolls shut down. You can use violence, bullying, harassment, etc. And if they ask, who is it directed to, it is you or someone you know. She's telling people to lie.
She really is.
She's telling people to make up claims they've been harassed or threatened with violence. I mean, it's all phony. This is the totally phony person who's upset because she's a gifter. She's out to make money any way she can. She had a good scam. And by the way, I don't rule out that she's actually doing work for the intelligence agencies because Dennis also noticed he traced her phone call back to Langley, Virginia.
Yeah.
And for those who want more about Rebecca, look at slide number 15, Rebecca Roth Exposed. This is a very good show going through what we had discovered about her. And I just want to point out that, Kevin reminds me, when I was an undergraduate at Princeton, when we were a senior class, we had a vote on, who's the smartest guy in the class. And it was a fellow named Dave Beckendorf, who was a very smart guy. But then it says, who thinks he is? And, if Kevin had been at Princeton, I would have nominated him. Because Kevin just thinks he's a little smarter than he is. He doesn't understand science. I've tried to explain to him repeatedly about the fact that none of the planes crashed on 9/11. He's so enamored of the videos. I think he believes it to this day. So how he thought he could possibly apprise what Rebecca Roth was presenting is beyond me. Now go to the next slide. Let's talk about the Beatles.
Well, hold on. If I could, the planes thing has been such a controversy in the 9/11 truth movement. For those of you who've paid attention, you really have to look. It doesn't make any sense that an aluminum light plane crashes through a steel building and then the little bit of the nose comes out the other end. It's been shown convincingly that we're looking at some sort of trickery or fakery, and just the evidence is overwhelming. None of it makes sense.
Yes. Right? Well, a good place for a summary of the evidence is either the article Planes, No Planes, and Video Fakery, originally on Veterans Today. I believe I've transferred it to my blog.
Good.
Or the YouTube video, the Midwest 9/11 Truth Conference Part 2, or the wonderful video on The Real Deal, episode 100, the 9/11 crash sites with Major General Albert Stubblebine, U.S. Army retired, who was in charge of all U.S. signals and photographic intelligence. And we go through all the evidence in a two-hour, minutely detailed discussion. And the general, formerly in charge of all U.S. photographic intelligence, confirms and even offers additional reasons why I am right.
Yeah.
So, Kevin doesn't understand these things. He's very weak in science. He doesn't understand any of these technical things. He's good in language, literature, and politics of the Middle East, where I think he's marvelous. And I'm very glad he's editing these books. But, why he wants to, toss me under the bus is a whole nother matter because it has no rational basis.
How we can reach all of those places, videos and stuff that you just talked about are different places at the moment, but soon they'll be up on jimfetzer.org and jimfetzer.com. It'll be the same thing.
Super, 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 Angel. Now let's turn to Paul McCartney. This is
is a trippy one, man. You got me into this, and I'm sold. You know, I remember as a kid when I'm just going to say.
Well, we should be looking at the cover of the Beatles album, right, Sergeant Pepper?
There it is.
Well, notice it's a funeral. That's a funeral there. There's a left-hand guitar on the funeral. Paul played left-hand. Yep. You got the original Beatles on the left in dark. Then you got the resplendent new band, where Paul is noticeably taller than he was in the past.
Yeah.
There are lots of hidden clues here.
Yep.
But even I would have remained in a state of agnosticism, not knowing what to believe, were it not for the forensic studies. Look at the next.
Yeah, yep.
This was published in Wired Italia by two Italian forensic scientists who thought they could lay to rest the hypothesis Paul had died and been replaced. So they were setting out to refute it. Instead, they confirmed it. Look at the difference in the teeth.
Yeah.
Very different. Paul on the right, Fall for false Paul on the left. Fall has very good teeth. Paul had very bad teeth. Fall has a normal palate. Paul had a small palate. Look here. The size and shapes of their craniums are different. Fall has a longer, more oblong skull. Paul on the right has a slightly more rounded. And they suggest that as the photograph of Fall below, that it was altered to try and make it look more round, when actually there's substantial differences in their skulls. So there's been a lot of photographic imagery manipulation taking place. In slide number 19, they point out differences in their ears as well. So, you know, I published this chapter in the book, and I suppose nobody went to the moon either, where I had 100 pages on Paul and Fall. But to the best of my knowledge, and here's one more, which I think is so obvious, I put it on the back of the book, slide number 20. You got Paul with Jane Asher, who was an actress. They were engaged. And then you got Jane with Fall. And look how much taller Fall is than Jane. Now, you can try to explain it many different ways, but in my opinion, none of them add up or excuse it. To the best of my knowledge, Kevin Barrett continues to insist to this day that I am wrong, even though there's a whole lot more substantiating evidence that Paul McCartney died around 9/11, 1966, and was replaced.
Yeah, yeah. I remember catching it as a kid. When I was a little kid, I remember right around then, something changed about him. I distinctly remember, I thought it was the beard. And from then on, I thought beards and mustaches really suck. I was like five, right? Like, beards and mustaches suck. Look how much they screwed up Paul McCartney. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, now here's the actual story that set off Gordon Duff to fire me.
Yeah.
Jane Helm is not an ordinary training drill. April 23rd, I think. And the following day, I was fired. Well, let me look at this. Kevin has downplayed Jane Helm. He said it's an exaggeration. It's a phony nothing. Well, here are just a sampling. I mean, I did a huge amount on Jane Helm. And here are just a few representative articles to suggest what we're talking about here. This was from Paul Joseph Watson on InfoWars. What? U.S. National Guard's drills in public aimed at dealing with domestic dissidents. Look at the next one.
Well, which number are you
on? I got it.
Where are we? Well, you're there? Okay.
Okay.
I need to follow, too, though, so I'm
you need to be.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
22. I just talked about 22, and you should now be on 23.
23. Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Military buildup for Jane Helm is biggest ever seen. Is this Iraq? No, it's the American Southwest.
Yep.
Look at the next. Look at that massive amount of equipment there, as you see in slide number 24. Now, as a former Marine Corps officer, I found this alarming because you can't have a staggering amount of equipment like this out there if you're not going to deploy it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, routine maintenance becomes a problem. You got to get the vehicles on the lifts. You got to change their oil. So this was evidence that something very strange was going on and highly alarming. Look at slide number 25. They closed a series of Walmarts, and they started putting 8 to 9 foot tall fencing around them. They were remodeling the inside. They put $100,000 to $200,000 blast doors on front of these Walmarts, which rather strongly suggested that they were going to be used for command and control centers, but also as bases for logistics. Instead of going to Walmart to get, you know, boxes of soda pop, you could go to Walmart to get tanks or helicopters or ammo. And we had reports from contractors. They were remodeling the Walmarts inside to look like they were detainee processing centers with iron bars and the like.
Jesus.
Did you see the news that they're going to close a couple hundred Walmarts now?
Yeah, they're shutting them.
Give me a chance. I'll get there, my friend.
Okay.
Believe it or not. Here's number 26. Huge crowd of concerned Texas citizens protest Jade Helm at Bastrop Commissioner's Court. This was in Texas. Very upsetting. The next, Governor Abbott commands a state guard to monitor Jade Helm 15 operation in Texas.
Yes.
And would you believe after this, and this is slide 27, we had a virtual cessation of Jade Helm operations. But, you know, Kevin thought I was just so wrong about Jade Helm. We had a wager about whether we'd be in a FEMA camp by the end of the summer. We weren't in a FEMA camp. I actually treated him and his family to lunch over this at a Culver's. But he would crow about it. Now, I'm going to explain why I think it ain't over when it comes to Jade Helm, just as Don was anticipating one of my points.
Nice.
So, I mean, that just shows we got a group here that's on the ball. Now, look at this slide number 28. This is about the banning of the book. So Amazon.com has 20 books about Sandy Hook, where mine went on sale on 22 October, but on 19 November, it was banned. It was banished. So I immediately released it to the public for free as a PDF, which, frankly, I believe they never in their wildest dreams would imagine happening.
I know.
And look at slide number 29. I mean, here's one of the most powerful forms of proof.
Yeah.
The SWAT team is already there. Look just above it to the row of four windows in classroom 10. The flag is at full mast. Just below the flag and slightly to the right, you see a man reclining against the wall with his arms folded. That's Wayne Carver, medical examiner, who would be the pivotal player in faking the public about this. Crime scene tape is up for a crime that is yet to be committed. Look at the next slide. This is number 30. Those are the windows before and after, so you compare what you saw there, which was exhibit number 26 from chapter 8 of the book. Before and after the shootout, the lower left, we have the perps actually drilling the holes to simulate bullet holes. And then you have the pink rods showing the trajectories there. They're all exactly 90-degree angle with the windows. They're all exactly parallel with one another. We even have another photograph where you can see the aluminum folded out into the classroom. I mean, I used to supervise marksmanship training for recruits at Ensign Raid and Camp Pendleton. I tell you, this is preposterous. No real shooting would have these effects.
Yeah.
This was so clearly and obviously staged. But Kevin didn't think it was important enough to return to the banning of the book in his year-end summary. Now, look at slide number 31. I believe one of the reasons why they wanted to ban the book is not only that it blows apart the whole Sandy Hook story by showing the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no children there for Adam Lanza to have shot, and that it was done to promote gun control. But I included as an appendix D, you see here, a study showing that homicide rates go up when guns are banned. When guns are banned, crime rates go up, which is not surprising if you stop and think about it, because if criminals know everyone is disarmed and they're not going to be, you know, confronted with armed resistance, that's certainly going to embolden them. And there's more to this, as I'm going to explain.
Yeah.
In the next slide, I have been dumbfounded, number 32, to find that even the New York Times is publishing propaganda and disinformation about Sandy Hook. This is an article by the Times desk editor down in Miami, who published an article about it, which he gives none of the reasons why James Tracy was seeking information from the Posners. It turns out that Lenny Posner appears to be a fake name. His actual name seems to be Leonid P. Osner, O-Z-N-E-R.
Uh-huh.
He claims to have a son, Noah, who died at Sandy Hook, but remarkably, Noah also is reported to have died a year later, on 16 December 2002.
He's a child model. He's been found in other places, too.
2014 in Pakistan.
As modeling, and modeling in pool advertisements and stuff, they found him in other places as well.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But look, given the reasons why Tracy was seeking to verify whether Lenny had any legitimate entitlement to a copyright claim on a photograph, and Lenny turned it into a vendetta, In fact, we not only know that Adam is supposed to have died twice, but that Kelly Watt was given a death certificate by Lenny after she had spent 100 hours talking with him, told him she didn't believe a word he said, didn't believe he had a son. He sent her a copy of a death certificate, which we have proven to be a forgery. It's a fabricated death certificate.
I saw it.
So James Tracy was trying to protect the public from fraud. Sympathetic but gullible Americans have sent over $27 million to the families of the survivors, the 26 families. That's over $1 million apiece. The first responders who played bit roles in this elaborate charade have had to split $2.3 million. The school of Newtown, the district of Newtown, received $50 million to build a new school. For their decrepit school, which we demonstrated had been abandoned by 2008, it had water damage, asbestos, biohazards, was not ADA compliant. So everyone's made out like bandits. Here's another article about it. The Washington Post joins the Sandy Hook propaganda game. They published an utterly irresponsible article about this, saying why James Tracy ought to be fired. In this instance, I was able to put up some posts that state.
Wow.
And it became quite an object of discussion. But now, if you go to the next, slide number 34, the Chronicle of Higher Education, of all things, has published an absolutely scurrilous, totally unfounded, utterly irresponsible article attacking James Tracy and suggesting that he had violated the boundaries of academic freedom, which is provably false. I've made a major issue about that. I submitted a huge refutation that ran about 8 paragraphs, very substantial, which, of course, I was not surprised they sidetracked. They didn't publish. So I have now written to various members of the Chronicle for Higher Education explaining this. They seem to have frozen the website. I think they're having to do their belated homework to figure out what actually happened here.
Both of these things are currently posted on your blog, jamesfetzer.blogspot.com, the two
That's
things
right.
we just looked
That's
at.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So a great place to transfer them to the new website, Angel.
Yeah, well, it'll connect to your blog is what will happen. It'll
well, that's fine. Now, let me give you the big picture here.
Okay.
We're being told that there's this abundance now of terrorist attacks and mass shootings, but as long ago as 2012, a subcommittee of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security published the results of their review of 680 fusion center reports from 2009 to 2010, where fusion centers merged federal, state, and local anti-terrorist activity. And would you believe in that 680 reports from all over the country, taking a lengthy period of time, they found not a single example of domestic terrorist activity. Zero, zip, nada, zilch, none.
Zero.
Right, and they didn't even find a case where a fusion center had thwarted a planned attack. So, given the size and duration of that sample, it's a very reasonable statistical inference that domestic terrorist threat is non-existent, virtually non-existent. Look at the next slide, number 36. We know how they've been demonizing Muslims, but look at this. This is a report from Russia Today.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We losing?
Uh-oh. 15 years of 18 for Muslim terrorists in 15 years, 22 from Jewish terrorists, 122 from white terrorists, 129 from Latino terrorists. So what's this big deal about Muslim terrorists? There are fewer Muslim terrorist attacks than there are Jewish terrorist attacks, and overwhelmingly fewer than Latino.
Oh, we know. It's just Edward Bernays, Joseph Goebbels propaganda, other thing. It's not really real.
Yeah. Now, look at the next study. This will get you to number 37. Gun violence has been declining steadily since the 1990s. In 1993, the number of homicides involving guns dropped from 7.0 to 3.4. That's dropped by more than 50%. Even more stunning, injuries, non-fatal wounds and so forth inflicted by guns has dropped dramatically from 726.3 in 1993 to 174.8 in 2014. What that means is gun violence is on the wane. But Barack Obama and his allies would have you convinced that there's a reason for hysteria here, hysteria about gun control. So I've been pondering, what's going on here? Why this great urgency about gun control? Now, just as Don astutely observed in slide number 38, we find they have now closed a whole lot of Walmart stores. And I'm terribly suspicious that we're witnessing the confluence of several different issues. One is that the gun control business hasn't been working out well, because most Americans, in the belief the government's going to confiscate our weapons, are going out and buying more.
Yeah.
They don't have enough Walmarts or FEMA camps. So I'm very, very troubled with this closure. Walmart remains the most profitable retailer in the world. So for them to be closing all these, and look at the location where they're closing. Now get this. Even Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States, is saying the Second Amendment gives the government the right to limit who can own a gun. That's simply not true.
Not infringed.
And for Biden to be going out on a limb like this is outrageous and just bespeaks of the level of desperation. And here, finally, I believe this is what ties it all together. Obama's been relentlessly pitching the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
Most Americans do not understand that the Trans-Pacific Partnership would make the sovereignty of nations a relic of the past. It creates a transnational board of international corporate attorneys who can override the laws of any sovereign nation and even the Constitution of the United States. I am convinced that when the American public realizes what's going on here, and they have kept it secret, so far as I know, it's not true that all of the provisions of the TPP have yet to be made public, and where Obama has signed a series of executive orders, many of which are private, which is simply absurd. I mean, what Obama is signing is supposed to have the force of law. But I think he's concealing the fact that he's directed that the border with Mexico no longer be maintained. I believe that is one of his secret executive orders. And I believe he's seeking to keep the public ignorant of the fact that we're no longer going to have the Constitution after the TPP passes. And that's why he's targeting the veterans, constitutionalists, Ron Paul supporters, 9/11 truthers, NRA members, anyone who might have the willingness to stand up for the Constitution. I think all of this is tied together and is the only hypothesis I've been able to discern that can explain the bizarre anti-gun staging of all these fake events, not just Sandy Hook, but Charleston, but San Bernardino, Upco College in Oregon, and a host of others. They're fake events. I've investigated all of them. None of them is legitimate. All the pressure on banning guns and talking about the Second Amendment to get guns away and promoting the TPP and closing all these Walmarts at the same time. Now, if either of you have thoughts about what could be the alternative explanation, I'd like to hear them, because I am profoundly alarmed by what is taking place.
I'd very much like to bring it back to what we're talking about, because I think that they're intimately connected. This experience that you had with Kevin Barrett and Gordon Duff. In the show I did with Kevin, I played him clip after clip of Gordon Duff saying things like his day job is a psychological warfare specialist. He fixes elections for a living. That's how he makes his money. It's just astounding. And he lies 40% of the time. But that isn't what mattered. And I would posit to you that you were not fired over Jade Helm. Jade Helm was simply an excuse that Gordon Duff used to get rid of you because you were bringing attention, too much positive attention, to stuff that veterans actually could do something about, which would be to go to Newtown, go to San Bernardino, stand up in their communities where they are currently, and stop exactly what you are talking about. I have a couple of fun things to show, because at the end of my show with Kevin, I really hit him up about his promise to talk about hidden energy technologies. As you know, that's my big deal. I want to have solutions. I think the hidden energy technologies are the way to cut the you know what off of the oil dictators and the nuclear arms industry. So just a few days later, they published this article. Can you show it on the screen, the camera here? Its title is Free Energy Just a Myth? But the entire article is all about how it isn't a myth and it is real. But it's the only article I've ever seen about it. It was done shortly after. I'll bet you Kevin went and said something, or Duff watched it, because I really pushed at the end of that show. Kevin, I said, Kevin, you promised me you would talk about it. He said, all right, I will. I was just about to do it. But Duff titles it as Is It a Myth? He's done everything. Yeah. Another thing is that your stuff may be back on the Veterans Today, but you can't find you. You can't go and look for Jim Fetzer or search anywhere, or you're not listed as anything. Perhaps in their archives you can go and find it. But I've got something real fun for us to listen to while we just got a few minutes. I've got about 3 minutes of an interchange between Gordon Duff and Kevin Barrett. This just happened because I tried to convince Kevin. I tried to convince Kevin that he was, you know, pissing on the wrong tree here with this Duff character.
Yes, go for it.
About these topics, because you are so insanely fundamentalist in your belief system. You can't even explore other...
I'm insanely fundamentalist because I disagree with your religious extremism and your willingness.
You don't know a damn thing about religion. You've never taken a religious studies class in your life, and you sit here on my radio show and tell me.
I'm not going to sit there and ask for an invisible God to give me free shit or to forgive my asinine behavior, which is exactly what you're doing right now. Now, are you going to have, at least you're not a Catholic, you're not going to have to confess, but you're going to have to 5 times a day get on your knees and talk to a non-existent, invisible person that you've never seen who never answers back. And you're doing it because it gives you peace of mind.
It's completely misunderstanding.
What you're doing is you are doing
you're
nothing.
You're coming at a Christian heretical
what you're doing no, is nothing.
That you think that God's a person?
It's a low-level attempt at meditation to play with your own serotonin levels. That's what religious belief is all about.
Well, obviously you have a fundamentalist belief in materialism, and you believe that all of consciousness comes down to things like serotonin levels. Don't you know that
religion is the definition of materialism?
Don't you know that the quantum physicists have discovered that all of reality is being created moment by moment by consciousness?
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have.
Some have speculated that it might.
Paradigm.
No, they haven't.
There you have a couple of minutes of their exciting exchange recently.
Kevin's even wrong about quantum physics, on which I have published, and he, I'm quite certain, has not. He's talking about what's called the collapse of the wave packet under a subjective interpretation of indeterminism in quantum mechanics. And it's really talking about a difference in your state of knowledge, that you go from a state of uncertainty or no knowledge to a state of knowledge when, for example, there's the cat, the Schrodinger's cat experiment, put in a box and it's either electrocuted or not electrocuted, and you're in a state of uncertainty until you look in the box and it's dead or it's alive.
It's in a superposition of states, exactly.
This is not consciousness affecting reality as some have proposed. Kevin, I regard this as another illustration of my point that he doesn't understand science. And I would like to, I think it's wonderful you pulled up this clip, Angel. I just point out that, one of us may be unprofessional, but that would not be me. And when it comes to Rebecca Roth, Paul McCartney, Jade Helm, and what's going on in the United States today, I think the evidence is overwhelmingly on my side, not on his.
And I just know we've given everyone a chance to speak here. I even let Gordon Duff have his say. It's funny because I agree with you. I agree with Kevin that their consciousness does play. And I agree with Gordon Duff that religion is just nut jobbery. So how fascinating that we're all coming together in this situation. Dr. James Fetzer, what a thrill to have you on as usual. I look forward to watching your work. JimFetzer.com and JimFetzer.org and JamesFetzer.blogspot.com is where you can find this brilliant man's work. Thank you again. See you another time soon.
Oh yeah, thanks so much. It was really fantastic. So
terrific.
Here we go.
Now together.
Okay, God bless.
You form a core.
This is the very best. Excellent.
And you're eager.
Thank you.
Find some
more. Well, I'm gonna have you start knocking on
another door.
You're kidding. Okay. And before
talk about his book.
Who's gonna host him?
I will.
Okay.
His book about about the other false flag here.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I'll skip out on that one.
Okay.
Thanks. Good, Don.
Okay.
Thank you both. Super
Thank
job.
You, Jim. Bye. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. See you. Yeah, we're just... Hang on a second here. In Seattle?